Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
On a new 4D in the MC, while the Lions injury news coming off Sunday's win over the Browns is not great, there appears to be some good news on the horizon. Could Alee McNeil be back to work this week? We'll hear from Dan Campbell. Plus, we have a full breakdown of week 4 in the NFL, and boy are there some doozies. All of that starts right now.
FanDuel's got an offer you don't want to miss this NFL season. New customers can bet just $5 and get $300 in bonus bets if you win. That's right, pick a bet $5, and if it wins, you'll unlock $300 in bonus bets to use all across the app. You can build parlays, bet player props, ride the live lines, whatever your style, FanDuel has you covered. The NFL season is here. The only question is, are you ready to play? Visit FanDuel.com/sportsfan to download the FanDuel app today and get started.
Must be 21 plus and present in Virginia. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Your sausage McMuffin with egg didn't change. Your receipt did. The sausage McMuffin with egg extra value meal includes a hash brown and a small coffee for just $5. Only at McDonald's for a limited time.
Prices and participation may vary.
At Sierra, discover top workout gear at incredible prices, which might lead to another discovery. Your headphones haven't been connected this whole time. Awkward. Discover top brands at unexpectedly low prices. Sierra, let's get moving.
It's fourth down in the Motor City.
Forward down the field, a charging team that will not yield. And when the blue and silver wave, stand and cheer the brave.
Rah, rah, rah.
Go hard, win the game. With honor, you will keep your fame. Down the field and gain a Lion victory.
Go Lions!
Hosted by Zach Clark.
I love it when people get mad about the Super Bowl halftime show. I think it's hilarious. It's pretty common, certainly. Like, over the last, I don't know, 5-10 years, did people used to complain about that? There were probably fewer avenues to complain in the 90s, right? Like, you just go yell on your street corner and whine. People did that, but, you know. I will say, though, to me, it always speaks volumes about those that are mad. You don't have to like the performer. Nobody is saying you have to love Bad Bunny or whomever it would have been. It is him. And people are going to get mad at me right now for saying this, but, like, truth hurts. If you're honestly mad about the Super Bowl halftime show, you are not in the demographic the NFL cares about. Let me say that one more time. If you are honestly mad about the Super Bowl halftime show, the NFL does not care what you think because they made this choice knowing people would feel this way. They wouldn't have chosen Bad Bunny otherwise. But they did.
Well, I'm not going to watch.
The NFL doesn't care. They don't care because not enough of you are going to not watch. In fact, millions of you are going to watch. So go make your beer run or turn your back to the TV while the show goes down. I will enjoy it. Anyway, we'll talk Lions here in just a couple of minutes. Dan Campbell giving more information on Lions injuries and some of the things we saw over the weekend he dissected for us. We'll get all of that here in just a few minutes, but let's recap week 4 in the National Football League. I tell you, man, what a week it was. Let's start overseas in Dublin. Minnesota, man, right there. Pittsburgh wins 24-20. That Steeler defense was excellent. Minus a stretch in the fourth quarter. A heroic comeback, almost. Complete game by Pittsburgh. Rodgers and Metcalf were both excellent. So was Kenneth Gainwell. Did you see that Isaiah Rodgers blocked a field goal? Is this guy on like the run of a lifetime? In week three, he forced 3 turnovers and returned 2 of them for touchdowns. And then in week 4, he blocks a field goal. I mean, this guy's been good for, what, 17 points in 2 weeks as a defender? Damn, that's amazing. I got to say, Pittsburgh has been a little more consistent than I expected. I don't know why. Well, I'll tell you why. And it's not because I actually hate Aaron Rodgers. I do actually hate Aaron Rodgers. But at some point, like, Father Time is real. It's not something that we make up. And nobody has ever defeated Father Time. That cliche is old as dirt, but it's true. So far, though, as he defies almost everything else in his life, he's defying age as well. I still hate him, though. I still hate him. All right, back stateside, Washington at Atlanta. I said Atlanta needed a bounce back game in a big way. Well, they listened. They beat Washington 34-27. And, you know, the biggest day had to belong to Michael Penix Jr., and it did. Career day, 313 yards, 2 touchdowns. Bijan Robinson, 181 total yards and a touchdown. Stellar offensive performance from the Atlanta Falcons. Washington's defense clearly had a rough day. They could not do anything to slow down the Falcons. And I know that the defense was the big issue here. They only lost by 7 points. I mean, they put up 27, right? If you have Jaden Daniels and if you have Terry McLaurin in that game, maybe it looks a little different. I really think so. I'm not saying that the game would have ended differently as far as the result, but we're talking about QB1 and wide receiver number 1. New Orleans visited Buffalo, and remember, we didn't even really talk about this game because there wasn't much to talk about, but it was a 2-point game in the fourth quarter. If New Orleans would have been a little better in the red zone, maybe they win that game. Maybe. But they lost 31-19. The interception on the Philly special was killer. Teams trying to replicate other teams' plays is interesting. I don't know if you saw in the Bears game, they tried the stumble bum. It did not work at all. The acting was poor. The execution was poor. It looked bad. That's not Ben Johnson using somebody else's play. That's a play he brought over. But you got to have the right personnel to run these plays sometimes. But remember I said about the run defense from the Bills? Not good. The Saints had 189 rushing yards. But negating some of that, James Cook had 100 of his own. And he scored a TD in his 8th straight game. Very impressive. So the reason that Atlanta needed to bounce back was because they got crushed the week before by Carolina. And this week, Carolina is the crush E. New England pounded them 42-13. Carolina scored on the opening drive. They missed the extra point. It was a sign. After that, the Patriots scored the next 42 points. Drake May was on fire, 3 touchdowns, a nearly perfect passer rating. I mean, the biggest difference for the Patriots was New England went from 5 turnovers in week 3 against Carolina. They had none in week 4. And we even saw the Red Rocket, little Andy Dalton action for Carolina. We were blessed. The upset of the weekend, I mean, I think it has to go to the New York Giants. They beat the Los Angeles Chargers 21-18. And Mr. Unlimited should just retire now. Dark time is permanent time. He comes out of the gate, 90-yard touchdown drive, including a 15-yard touchdown run. Remember, when we talked about these games on Saturday, I signaled this might be a rookie coming out party. Dart was great, and so was Omarion Hampton for the Chargers. He had 128 yards and a touchdown. The problem for the Chargers is they've now lost Joe Alt. Rashawn Slater's already out for the season. Mekhi Becton's been banged up. I mean, we're going to have a patchwork offensive line for the Chargers, and that's tough when you have a rookie running back, even though he had a great game last weekend. You remember I picked Tampa Bay to win at home against the defending Super Bowl champion Philadelphia Eagles, and I was incorrect. Philadelphia 31-25. Here's the thing. It's very simple. Even a slow person like me can understand you can't go down 24-3 against Philadelphia. I don't care if you're Baker and like the Goonies never say die, and they are, which is unbelievable. I got to say, though, I love the tush push fake. People are so up in arms about them actually using it. The focus on the tush push is so intense, they can do almost whatever they want now. It's like the slowest and like bulkiest play action pass ever, but that shovel pass to Goddard, it worked twice. Why? Because teams are so keyed in on stopping the middle of the line, they're not expecting him to pitch the ball at all. And he did it twice, and it worked both times.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
The second half, though, for the Eagles, it wasn't great. No completions for Jalen Hurts. They only went by six. They were outscored 22-7 in the second half. Not ideal. But Baker Mayfield at home, good Tampa Bay team. That's a nice win for Philadelphia. They're undefeated. The opposite of undefeated is winless, and that continues to be the Tennessee Titans. In a battle of winless teams, they get shut out 26-0. I said it. Houston had to win by a million just to get my attention here. Close. The Titans are, they're just bad. They had 175 yards of total offense. But it's not like the Texans were kicking ass. It was 6-0 at halftime, and mainly because Tennessee missed two field goals. This game should have been tied at halftime. It was 6-0 after three still. Texans offense wakes up, scored 20 points in the final frame. Yeah, great. I mean, Houston wins, but they're still bad. Houston is not a good football team. They're just not. I mean, that's way too much of a struggle at home against a really bad Tennessee team. Flat out. We're going to talk late window football games, and we'll hear from Dan Campbell. That's next when the Fourth Down in the Motor City continues.
When did making plans get this complicated? It's time to streamline with WhatsApp, the secure messaging app that brings the whole group together. Use polls to settle dinner plans. Send event invites and pin messages so no one forgets mom's 60th. And never miss a meme or milestone. All protected with end-to-end encryption. It's time for WhatsApp. Message privately with everyone. Learn more at WhatsApp.com.
This episode is brought to you by Jack Daniels. Jack Daniels and music are made for each other. They share a rhythm in the craft of making something timeless, while being a part of legendary nights. From backyard jams to sold-out arenas, there's a song in every toast. Please drink responsibly. Responsibility.org. Jack Daniels and Old No. 7 are registered trademarks. Tennessee whiskey, 40% alcohol by volume. Jack Daniel Distillery, Lynchburg, Tennessee.
Doug. Limu and I always tell you to customize your car insurance and save hundreds with Liberty Mutual. But now, we want you to feel it. Cue the emu music, Limu.
Save yourself money today. Increase your wealth. Customize and save, we say.
That may have been too much feeling.
Only pay for what you need at LibertyMutual.com.
Liberty, 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 Liberty.
Savings vary. Underwritten by Liberty Mutual Insurance Company and affiliates. Excludes Massachusetts.
And now, Fourth Down in the Motor City continues. All right, moving into the late window action. Colts and Rams. The Rams win 27-20, and Indianapolis has to just be kicking their own ass all that way home on that flight. They had to have been. The Adonai Mitchell fumble was like the Leon Lett fumble in the Super Bowl, except Leon Lett's team was up by 5 touchdowns. It was a huge difference. Yeah, it looked stupid, Don Beebe. But Leon Lett's team won the game. Adonai Mitchell's team did not win the game. And then, to make things worse, Mitchell had the hold that he gave the 53-yard touchdown run. We were talking about ageless people. Matt Stafford threw an 88-yard touchdown pass. I mean, obviously that wasn't all in the air, but the dude still has it. And that basically shut the door on the Colts. Only 76 yards for Jonathan Taylor and 2 picks for Indiana Jones. The two guys that have been playing so well did not have a good day. The Rams win by 7 at home. I did not have a good week. this week picking games. San Francisco, I thought, would be able to handle Jacksonville, especially when they get Brock Purdy back. But Jacksonville wins 26-21, a massive road win. A massive road win for Jacksonville. They have forced at least three turnovers in every game this season. It was four against San Francisco. I would say how much the Niners miss Bosa, and of course they do, but it was a wildly sloppy offense that made a lot of that game happen. CMC was great, 141 yards, but Brock could not hang on to the ball. San Francisco had to settle for two field goals early. You got to convert on those red zone opportunities, and Jacksonville feeling super good at 3-1. Did you guys see what happened after the game? In a fight between Robert Saleh and Liam Cohen, like who do you think wins? So what he said was, "Keep my name out of your mouth," Liam Cohen to Robert Saleh. And then Robert Saleh said the same thing back. Both of them used the F word, which I will not use in the situation. They said it, not me. You couldn't hear it there. Liam Cohen makes me laugh. "Hey, dude, is this you?"
"Jacksonville, the community, Duval."
You could hear the crowd laughing at the end because it was so painful and awkward. That was his introductory press conference. Listen to Travis Hunter say it the first time.
"I just did my best Duval back there, but I got you. Duval!"
You know how you know that was so good? Because there was a guy in the background that began to yell Duval as soon as he said it, as soon as Hunter says it. Like, Liam Cohen is a nerd. Spare me. You know what it reminded me of?
"Keep my wife's name out your fucking mouth."
"Wow, dude."
"Yes."
"It was a G.I. Jane jump."
"Keep my wife's name out your fucking mouth."
God, one of the weirdest moments in American pop culture history. Robert Saleh accused Liam Cohen of legally stealing signs. And Liam Cohen got mad, and they got a little beefy at midfield after the game, had to be separated. The Ravens are toast. They lose 27-20 at Kansas City. Lamar out. Roquan out. Marlon out. I could keep going. Baltimore lost like seven defensive starters throughout that game, at least at some point. Nate Wiggins was carted off. Ronnie Staley got hurt too. And so it's offense and defense. The Ravens are in deep, deep, deep trouble. Four touchdowns from Mahomes. KC moves to 2-2. Keeps their season upright, at least for now. I mean, that's a good win for Kansas City, but to me it speaks volumes about what's going on in Baltimore. Speaking of fights at midfield, Ben Johnson almost got in one with a CBS reporter on Sunday. Bears beat the Raiders 25-24, and what a win it was for the Bears. They forced four turnovers for the second week in a row. Geno Smith was terrible. Caleb was relatively quiet until the end. Bears block a field goal to seal the deal. I mean, you know how I feel about the Raiders. F*** Pete Carroll. But that was a big step forward for Ben and the Bears. They're 2-2, coming off two straight wins, including a road win. Beating great teams is good, but beating teams you're supposed to beat is a necessity, and that's exactly what they did. The game of the week is a tie. Something I'll never say again. The game of the week is a tie. 40-40, Green Bay and Dallas tie in Dallas. Second highest scoring tie in NFL history. I said it yesterday, and I'll say it every day till I die. I don't like ties in the NFL. There's just no place for them in the win-loss column. So it just makes things awkward. But this game was awesome. Over 900 yards of total offense. And I think in the second half, all but the first drive ended in points. Nine straight drives ending in points. Unbelievable. Packers let that get away. Pickens looked great filling in for CD for Dallas. It's a tough one for the Packers. I mean, you know, after 2-0, they were the best team in the NFL, people thought. Now, they're 2-1-1. And then last night's games, a couple of Monday night games, man, when I see those like really gruesome injuries, you know, knees are just not supposed to bend that way. And Tyreek's got to be done for the season. It was gross. Oof. I mean, the Jets, they really shot themselves in the foot. The fumble at the 4-yard line was so costly. New York had over 100 penalty yards. You can't do that. You're a winless team, you're on the road, and you're just letting them have it. Tua looked good, finally. Mike McDaniel can keep his job for now. Cincinnati's become unwatchable. Joe Burrow's a great quarterback. and not having him is a big deal. But I didn't think it would be this big of a deal. Denver wins 28-3 at home. In two games without Burrow, the Bengals have scored 13 total points. That is 1.625 points per quarter. About half a field goal, if you're doing the math at home. That is beyond disgusting. I mean, pathetic. T. Higgins and Jamar Chase last night, 55 total yards combined. Chase getting Zach Taylor's face on the sideline. I mean, there are no easy games in the NFL, but the Lions might be getting themselves a gift-wrapped one here. That said, they must be walking into a hornet's nest. It'll be interesting for sure. All right, enough about everybody else. Let's talk about the Detroit Lions. Let's hear from Dan Campbell. He spoke. When you look at game film, and this is not me talking, this is Dan Campbell talking, it's about the little things. Sure, you can look at the Lions' interceptions in the big picture, but why don't we look at what the Lions did after they turned the ball over?
Man, our defense was 2-2 on sudden change. You know, we had the pick. They're already in field goal range. Our defense holds, forces a field goal. That's big. The other one is, you know, we go forward on fourth. We don't get it. Defense forces a stop. They have to punt to Leaf. Leaf turns it into a touchdown. That's huge defensively. Our offense, man, in special teams, end of half, minus 16-yard line, one timeout. You know, we get into field goal range, leave them no time, get three before we go in and half, make it a two-score game. And most importantly, found another way to win. You know, we found another way to win. And I mentioned this before. The more ways you figure out how to win, how to play the game, how to stay competitive, and find a way to finish it off, you get better at it.
Yesterday we talked where the Lions got down in the mud and they won in the dirt, right? They had to get dirty to win that game. It wasn't easy. The Browns made it difficult. My dad always told me when I was younger that the more versatile you are at your place of employment, the less likely you are to be fired. And that's what Dan's talking about here. And he's also absolutely right about the end of the half. I mean, back in the day, that's an automatic knee. In the last 10 years, maybe you take a couple of shots and it doesn't work, then you take a knee. Forget that. Lions go all the way down the field, booming a 58-yarder from Jake Bates. Huge score going into the half. Absolutely. And this goes without saying, but like, you know, losing DJ Reed is difficult.
His style of play, when you watch him play, you know that he's a great fit for us, and that just shows everything you need to know. Like, that to him is more important than his own body, is making a play for his teammates. He doesn't want to let the guys down. He needs to make a play, and he, you know, and something comes of that. So I know you're already going to ask. He's going to be down for a while, but the good news is this is not a season ender. We will get him back, it looks like. So that's the good news.
Losing DJ Reed is brutal. I mean, we talked about him on the last episode. He's been playing so well. Even in that game, he had an impact. He had an interception. Now, the Lions have some question marks at the corner position because Terrion Arnold likely won't be out for more than 2 weeks, but it doesn't sound like he's going to play this week. We don't know. So what do you do?
Our next guys up get reps. They get real reps. You know, they get our scheme, our work, running our plays. And so they're expected to step in, and we don't lose a beat. They know that. That's the expectation here, and that is the standard. So whether it's Dorse and Rock, they're going to be ready to go. They're going to step up, and we're not going to miss a beat. That's the whole point.
Do you need to add a corner to the roster, just given there's not a lot on the practice squad either? I think it's just Hallett that maybe has a little bit of outside flexibility.
Yeah, I mean, I think we would look for somebody for help. I haven't talked to Brad yet about all of this, so we'll discuss this, but you know, we may need somebody for help for practice, you know, at a minimum, so we'll discuss it. You know, you mentioned Hallett gives us versatility. You know, he can kind of do a little bit of everything, nickel, corner, safety. So
the return of Nick Whiteside, I don't know, maybe. I like the Lions mentality that, like, look, no matter what happens to us, we're going to keep moving forward regardless. Yes, great, next man up. But at some point, the Lions have to realize they won't always have the answer in the building, right? I mean, am I crazy in thinking that the answer won't always be on the roster as we live and breathe? He does mention practice squad help, which I figured would be the case. I said it yesterday. I'm not asking for huge changes. The answer always being, we've already got a guy, it's frustrating. I can't put my finger on it because he's not been wrong, but I just, I don't know why that bothers me so much. It shouldn't, but it does. All right. Enough. How about some good injury news? Hit me with the good stuff, Zach.
There's a good chance we may start Max Clark this week. You know, So that's good. You know, we're just, we want to make sure that we check all those boxes before we say that that's what we're going to do for sure. But it's trending the right way. Max, he's about ready to go, you know. And I think he's tired of training. He's trained all he can train. He's done everything you can do. He just needs football, you know. And so he's done an unbelievable job. And those guys, Fish and Mike Clark and all of them, the whole crew, have done an unbelievable job. And obviously the work he's put into it has been, I mean, it's been pretty special.
Getting a lean back is huge for a variety of reasons. I mean, one, he's one of your guys. They like him a lot. They developed him. They paid him a lot of money. And he can certainly pick up that pass defense from the interior. Not only can he take the runaway, but if he can get more pressure on the quarterback, it takes the stress off a secondary that could be shorthanded. Now, Ali McNeil's not going to come back this week, but I'm saying if the injuries become longer term for the Lions at the cornerback slots, getting a guy like McNeil back in the middle could be helpful. Will be helpful, no question. I don't know why I said could be. Will be. Just one more here, and, you know, we talked about it a little bit on the recap show. J-Mo really struggled on Sunday. You know, how big of a deal was that?
Yeah, we're just a little bit off on it, and you know, there's a couple of them. It really is just a couple of things here and there. One, you know, eyes back a little sooner. One, golf just misses on one. He kind of gets hit on one when he's trying to release the ball. We're just a little bit off, and I go back to this, man. We go back to the drawing board, and I hate to make excuses, but, you know, some of these we really wanted to push the ball down the field, and, you know, we weren't able to practice on Wednesday. You know, it was more walkthrough, so then you're trying to grab some reps on Thursday, but yet still get your third down in, and, you know, sometimes it's a reminder, you know, for me, it's like, man, we may need to just, let's make sure that either we try to find a way to get some reps to where we get a good flow on Wednesday, or maybe we don't put some things in, and that's fine.
The only thing that I back up on is two of those were pretty bad drops. I don't think that has anything to do with install or route running. I mean, it hit him in the hands. I don't know what else you need your quarterback to do, but overall, I'm not worried about it. I'm not sure if it's exactly just the install. We all have off days, but it has to be singular. Same is true for J-Mo as it is for you and me. I'm waiting for the comment. Zach, you have an off day every day. This podcast sucks.
Probably.
Make sure you're following Fourth Down in the Motor City wherever you get your podcasts. That includes the free Odyssey app. And if you have not done so, ratings and reviews are incredibly helpful. Remember, it's Fourth Down in the Motor City, and we're going for it every single time.
It's fall in Detroit, best time of the year for sports. It means a football frenzy, baseball drama, non-stop content, and fans losing their minds.
Lions, Tigers, Wolverines, Spartans, if it matters in Detroit sports, the Valenti and Rico Show is all over it, breaking it down with insight and attitude.
Big games, bigger opinions, the NFL blitz, the picks, storylines, all the chaos in Michigan and Michigan State and college football.
Smart takes, real talk, no fluff, just the truth.
Catch the Valenti Show with Rico anytime, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. P&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.